Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, hello, friends. It is Bowerly and News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, for those of you who were extras in the yet untitled Cabrini movie, I'm thinking that maybe tomorrow we'll do a couple of hours on that. I'll have to send a text out to the local casting guy, Frank Rossi, and see if we can get him. I have left word with the dude who is actually the man behind the camera, Alejandro Monteverde. Asking if he could spend 10 minutes with us, so we'll see what we can do about that for tomorrow. But for the thousands of you who've been involved in the making of this $40 to $50 million motion picture in Buffalo, New York, as one of the filming locations, I think we're going to do a show on it tomorrow because a lot of people had a lot of great experiences and a lot of people are hams. And I can't believe the number of cops and ex-cops who are also into acting. It is absolutely unbelievable. Nor can I believe the one degree of separation thing that we have here in Western New York. It was absolutely uncanny. Some of you had like 40 filming days. I think I had 7 or 8 filming days. Problem is, I just don't look ethnic enough. Not even for a Northern Italian. I just don't think I can. I don't think I could pull it off. I'm a polyglot. You know, if I was doing the Basepaws cat DNA analysis, I'd be a polycat. You know, a little bit of everything, I think. I think that's what a polycat is. But, yeah, I did I love the DNA tests. I love them. I've done every single one that I possibly can on my own saliva. No other bodily fluids, thank you. And I actually did the Basepaws DNA test for Glenna Cat, who is pretty much on her last legs. But I wanted to know, you know, what is she exactly? Because I just stumbled upon her at Glen Park 18 years ago. And she's been my buddy ever since. And it turns out that she's got some Maine Coon in her, some Ragdoll, Norwegian Forest Cat, whatever the hell that is, and a whole bunch of other really cool breeds all mixed into this pocket panther, jet black with green eyes. And, you know, she is, she's doing very, very well. As far as a cat with late stage kidney disease, she's doing very well. And, you know, I'll know when it's time and I'll be inconsolable for 2 weeks. And after that, I will probably turn to the responsible way to deal with grief, which is Crown Peach. So anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And it is good to be with you. Good to be anywhere for that matter. And I want to start off the show. I read some of this yesterday, but I got a lot of feedback on it, and I want to read more of it today. And the people in Orchard Park, some of the parents are encouraging civil disobedience. And I'm here to tell you that civil disobedience is as American as apple pie and as human as humanity itself. I would like to read a little bit more of what I read yesterday from a gentleman named Mohandas Gandhi. Before he was called Mahatma Gandhi, he was just good old Mohandas. Mo, how you doing? He wrote in 1916 on civil disobedience. Let me just get to the meat where it concerns our current situation. But through the other method of combating injustice, we alone suffer the consequences of our mistakes, and the other side is wholly spared. This other method is satyagraha, One who resorts to it does not have to break another's head. He may merely have his own head broken. He has to be prepared to die himself, suffering all the pain. In opposing the atrocious laws of the government of South Africa, it was this method that we adopted. We made it clear to the said government that we would never bow to its outrageous laws. No clapping is possible without two hands to do it, and no quarrel without two persons to make it. Similarly, no state is possible without two entities, the rulers and the ruled. You are our sovereign, our government, only so long as we consider ourselves your subjects. When we are not subjects, you are not the sovereign either. So long as it is your endeavor to control us with justice and love, we will let you do so. But if you wish to strike at us from behind, we cannot permit it. Whatever you do in other matters, you will have to ask our opinion about the laws that concern us. If you make laws to keep us suppressed in a wrongful manner and without taking us into confidence, these laws will merely adorn the statute books. We will never obey them. Award us for it what punishment you like. We will put up with it. Send us to prison, and we will live there as in a paradise. Ask us to mount the scaffold, and we will do so laughing. Shower what sufferings you like upon us. We will calmly endure all and not hurt a hair of your body. We will gladly die and will not so much as touch you. But so long as there is yet life in these our bones, we will never comply with your arbitrary laws. Mohandas Gandhi, 1916, on civil disobedience. The idea that when laws are unjust, you needn't use violent action. You mobilize the masses to shut down the system, okay? You might have seen the movie Gandhi with Sir Ben Kingsley. It really is quite good. It's quite long, by the way. I think it's about as long as Once Upon a Time in America, which I started watching this morning on the treadmill. And I think, you know, I never was able to get into that movie before, and I think one of the reasons is I started watching it too late at night, and I would just fall asleep. The telephone ringing at the beginning of the movie just aggravated me a lot. So I'm giving that movie, it's Sergio Leone, Once Upon a Time in America. Robert De Niro spends time on the lam in Buffalo, which he refers to as the, how do I put this delicately, the posterior orifice of the world later on in the movie, which I did kind of laugh at when it was spoken. But anyway, giving that movie a second thought. And those of you, as I said earlier, those of you who were extras in the untitled Cabrini movie, you as well as I probably watch movies, especially if it was your first time, in a totally different light than you used to watch them. I never noticed background people. I guess that's why they're background people. But I've started to pay attention now, and it has enriched the movie watching experience. Let me just say that. Somebody wanted to know. No, I did not get a line. I did not get a line at all in the movie, but I wasn't really expecting one. Now, let us move on to an American who lived way back when, in the 1800s, and his name was Henry David Thoreau. Now, I don't have the time to read his entire essay on civil disobedience. It would take the entire program to do it. So I selected a bit of it, and I think maybe it might pique your interest. I put a link up on the Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page. And this is what Henry David Thoreau wrote. Unjust laws exist. Shall we be content to obey them, or shall we endeavor to amend them and obey them until we have succeeded, or shall we transgress them at once? Men, generally, under such a government as this, think that they ought to wait until they have persuaded the majority to alter them. They think that, if they should resist, the remedy would be worse than the evil. But it is the fault of the government itself that the remedy is worse than the evil. It makes it worse. Why is it not more apt to anticipate and provide for reform? Why does it not cherish its wise minority? Why does it cry and resist before it is hurt? Why does it not encourage its citizens to be on the alert, to point out its faults, and do better than it would have them? Why does it always crucify Christ and excommunicate Copernicus and Luther and pronounce Washington and Franklin rebels? Henry David Thoreau on civil disobedience. So the idea of civil disobedience is as old as the founding of the country. And the idea of people saying to a government that rules over the people, hey, you know what? You are not treating us the right way. And because you are not treating us the right way, we are declaring our independence from you. And that is, of course, the motivation of Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence. If you read the document, if you can get through the somewhat archaic English, basically what it says is, hey, world, we are no longer going to be ruled by Great Britain or its despotic king. Here's some of the crap that he's done to us. So from now on, we are no longer to be considered part of anything England or Great Britain. Thank you very much. The word thank might be replaced by another word in today's vernacular, but I think you understand that I can't say that on the air. So the Declaration of Independence was about as rebellious a document as could possibly be drafted against governments, because as I've tried to communicate, and probably unsuccessfully so, the United States of America is the exception to the rule of all of histories. It is the exception to the rule where people said, no, we are not going to take it anymore, and we're going to fight for our right to party. Well, maybe not quite in those terms, but basically, I think you understand, if you understand anything about American history, you understand that in the olden days, kings, for example, throughout Europe, and they're all interbred anyway, but kings and the blue bloods and the nobility of Europe always said, well, we rule because God has anointed us to rule. We are anointed by God to rule over you. And it was only pushing and screaming back in 1215, that was a year, 1215, that King John of England relented and signed the Great Charter, the Magna Carta, which basically didn't do a whole lot for the common man, but did put into better framework the relationship between the king and, I guess for want of a better term, the haves in the UK. Excuse me. Keep on swallowing wrong, I apologize. Then, of course, and again, sticking with England, because that's what I know, that's what I know the most about, there was a gentleman by the name of King Charles. King Charles, who was deposed because, basically, he tried to get more out of the people and more out of Parliament than Parliament was willing to give. And instead of King Charles ending up victorious over Oliver Cromwell, it was Oliver Cromwell who actually deposed a king, a very radical idea for the times in which Cromwell lived. And eventually the king, Charles I, was beheaded and the Commonwealth was formed. And then when Cromwell died, his son didn't know how to do anything. His son was kind of like Hunter Biden. And long story short, the Commonwealth broke apart and they basically asked for a king to come back and be their ruler over a semi-parliamentary system. And also, if you look at English history, you find that, and you look at all of human history, and you'll find that usually, you know, as nice as nonviolent protest is, and Gandhi and what he did to get rid of British rule on the Indian subcontinent, usually the history of human beings vis-a-vis their governments, unfortunately, is written in blood. And there was another king of England. And I don't mean to dwell too much on kings, but keep in mind, these kings thought that they were all that in a bag of chips. They thought that they were anointed by God. They were told from the time they were old enough to understand language that they were anointed by God, that when daddy died, you're going to be the next king of England. And there was a dude by the name of Richard II. And Richard II was eventually deposed. He was almost deposed well before he actually was deposed. in something called the Peasants' Revolt, where, and this is a very interesting lesson from history. The peasants in England basically said, we're getting the raw end of the stick. Here comes the king's men, not Michael Caine, but here comes the king's men. All they want is money. All they want to do is take our money. We don't really have much say in the government, but if the king wants to fight wars, he comes and he comes after us. And there are a couple of people, Wat Tyler and John Ball, who led what was known as the Peasants' Revolt against Richard II. And John Ball was a priest. He was a renegade priest, you might say. And he was very famous for saying, when Adam delved and Eve span, who was then the gentleman? Delve is just an old word for dig. And it was a very good question for any time in history. Who actually appoints nobility? Who appoints gentlemen? Who appoints kings? If we're all descended from Adam and Eve, then we really are all commoners. We all have that in common. None of us should be considered noble or blue-blooded, but eventually the Peasants' Revolt was put down, and a very young Richard II was absolutely, as a teenager, I think he was 14, 15 years old, he actually was able to take control of the mob that had come to depose him. So I got to give Richard II some props on that. But eventually, Richard II, talking about England here, way back when, Richard II crossed the line. He crossed the line. He went after the wrong dude, Henry Bolingbroke. And the long story short is returning from exile because his father's estate had been raided by the king. Henry Bolingbroke overthrew Richard II, and Richard II went to prison where he was murdered eventually by people at the behest of King Henry IV. And if you have, I think, Amazon, you can buy The Hollow Crown for like $1.99 an episode, and it will show you all of these events in living color. But the bottom line here, folks, is this, and I know I just crammed a lot of stuff into a hole, and maybe some of it didn't fit exactly into the hole, but folks, governments exist because we, the people, allow them to exist. And all the way in the United States of America, forgetting about Great Britain for a moment, in the United States of America, civil disobedience is as American as apple pie. It goes back all the way to Thomas Jefferson and is profoundly radical Declaration of Independence. And actually before then, the Mecklenburg Declaration. And it extends through to people like Henry David Thoreau and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who used, by the way, as an example of civil disobedience, the teachings of the man who would by then be known as Mahatma Gandhi. Basically, Mahatma Gandhi essentially said what Thomas Jefferson did with respect to, hey, you cease to be legitimate as a government when you do not obey the will of the people. So, with all of that as the rather lengthy preamble, and I apologize getting off on a roll like that, but I'm going to reopen my COVID complaint desk, and I'm going to tell you why I'm doing that. Because, guys, the truth of the matter is, I don't know what y'all want to talk about. I don't know whether you want to talk about kids and masks and daycare, whether you want to talk about the Eric Church tickets you can't get rid of, the Genesis VIP seats you can't get rid of, the Bills single game seats that you are trying to get rid of at bargain basement prices, the fact that you're going to lose your job, possibly, if you are not vaccinated, and not only that, but you are going to lose out on unemployment benefits, and you're going to lose out on health insurance benefits. I do have some information to correct a caller that called in yesterday regarding Kaleida, which I will get to. But I want to know with this entire situation, because we all come at this from different places, your COVID complaint. And if you want to predict where this is going, I mean, I think where it's going is mandatory vaccinations for everybody to do anything. I think that is what it is coming to. Prove me wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Mandatory vaccinations to do pretty much anything in life. Is there anybody out there who does not see that as the probable course that we are on as a nation. And it all started with 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Does anybody remember that? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. It was on the signs on the Youngman. And I know that because I was the only car on the Youngman a lot of days when we had 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And 2 weeks to flatten the curve has turned into, oh, you're a registered nurse, huh? Oh, you dealt with COVID patients every day. You're a real American hero. You know that? And then a few months later, you know what? You're a medical imbecile who's unable to decide for yourself whether or not you want the vaccine. Oh, I'm sorry. Had COVID, have antigens to it naturally? Tough beans for you. I'm sorry. You've got allergies and you are medically unable to be vaccinated? Sucks to be you. That's what we've come to. 2 weeks to flatten the curve has turned into mandatory vaccines to do a lot of things. And unfortunately, I wish I could tell you otherwise, but I think it's going to be eventual mandatory vaccines to do pretty much anything in life. And if there's anybody who's a new listener, I am fully vaccinated. And when the boosters come out, I will get the booster shot. Why? Because I've done a risk-benefit analysis, and it is my opinion and the opinion of 5 of 6 of my physicians that I should be vaccinated. So I'm vaccinated. But I would never in a million years presume to order you to be vaccinated. Because the whole point in getting vaccinated was, even if I get COVID-19, my symptoms should not result in my going into the hospital and should not result in my dying. Okay? So if you are not vaccinated, you don't pose a threat to me, in my humble opinion. And I believe you ought to have medical freedom. And I'm fully vaccinated, and I would give my life for your right not to be vaccinated.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome, friends. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, we had a caller yesterday who gave us some inaccurate information about Kaleida, making it seem as though Kaleida was the deciding force in no COBRA coverage if you get fired because of the vaccine mandate for health workers and no unemployment. These are New York State mandates. Kaleida does not have a choice. They are operating under New York State mandates. Now, I would like to see the executives of Kaleida go, if not hat in hand, on bended knee. No, I would like to see them petition the governor and say, hey, if we fire the people who don't want to get vaccinated, you're putting other patients at risk. So all of the healthcare companies, I would like to see them, the management thereof, I would like to see them buck up to the government overreach that we see. All right, my COVID complaint line is open. Somebody on Facebook, I read the thing on Mohandas Gandhi and civil disobedience, and let's see, the guy said, okay, you first. Well, what exactly would you like me to do? I won't be buying Bills tickets, I won't be buying Sabres tickets, and I won't be buying concert tickets for segregated venues. That is what I will do. And back during times when certain activities were banned, my friends and I did engage in civil disobedience. We absolutely violated the mandates, which we did not think made any sense, and we had a great time doing it. Oh, yeah, and none of them were super spreader events. Nobody got sick at any event that we did. So I did do civil disobedience. Been there, done that. I don't know what I can do now. My civil disobedience right now is in telling you that I'm fully vaccinated and I support your right not to be fully vaccinated. And I think that the idea of putting masks on two-year-olds is absolutely ludicrous and injurious to the mental health of children. Fewer than 500 American children have died of COVID. Most of those deaths would have been of children with serious pre-existing medical conditions that were already known, just like the statistics that came from England. And yet we are putting restrictions on a group for whom the risk of drowning in a neighbor's pool is greater than the risk of dying of COVID, for whom the risk of death in a motor vehicle accident is greater than the risk of death from COVID. It's asinine, and I want to know what else you guys see coming. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. My COVID complaint line is open. I know for some of you, it's, how come you're talking so much about COVID? Look, I get it. I'm the one who hosts the show 4 hours a day. How do you think I feel? But I got to tell you, this is what the people I know are talking about out there in the real world. You know, and then the whole Bills conversation has been hijacked by the vaccine to go to a Bills game conversation. So let's go to Tim in Orchard Park. Tim, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Quickly, I would like to say out to every person who listens to your radio station, I am not a nurse, but I went to the nurse rally that was downtown. I am not a teacher. I showed up for the teachers in support of the teachers and the workers in the school district. So I would say to anybody who's listening, you don't have to be the person who works in that field to support these people, because next will be you. Now, when I went to the meeting last night, I was very excited to see so many people in the school districts, all different districts, coming together. I would say one thing I learned is that if your employer asks you to do something, make sure there's a paper trail. If they ask you to get a shot and you refuse the shot, make sure they told you and you want a paper copy, you want to sign that they gave it to you. This way, an attorney has a paper trail to help you. That's the biggest thing I learned last night. Paper trails is the way to help yourself.
That's the biggest single thing I learned from my father. Get it in writing.
Thank you.
All right, is that it?
Yeah, I just think people need to be supportive of everybody else. I remember when I went to the nurses' rally, one of the chants they said, next will be you. Next will be you. Well, guess what? They're after the next person. And if you're not willing to stand up for your local friends, your neighbors, next will be you.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. As far as demonstrations, I don't know that demonstrations, to be honest with you, do a lot of good. I think, you know, but I'm torn on that. You might convince me otherwise. I think that your best chances for redress come in court cases that are being filed by various classes of injured individuals against the government. For example, the lawsuit against New York State's healthcare mandates because of no religious exemption, which frankly is a blatant violation of the free exercise clause of the First Amendment of the Constitution, aka the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And by the way, apparently Joe Biden does not know this, and a lot of people in media don't know this, but the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, if the Constitution doesn't say it's a federal power, it's automatically assumed to be a state power. So for the federal government, like Joe Biden, to say he's going to roll over governors who stand in the way of vaccine mandates, that's a total violation of the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. I mean, stuff like that leads to civil war. Sorry, but it does. Let's go to Nicole in Buffalo on WBEN. Nicole, my COVID complaint desk is open. One open line, 803-0930. And by the way, guys, I do not check the text board. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, I reserve to traffic and Alan Harris. So I don't read anything that you guys send in there. And it's a very simple reason. It's because I'd much rather talk to you and I don't want to be replaced by artificial intelligence with, you know, Tommy the texting reading robot, because I think that would suck. Well, for me anyway, maybe better for you. All right, Nicole, you're on WBEN.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to...
Yeah, we're going to have to get a better cell phone connection. Folks, there are so many words I'd like to use when that happens. It is so blanking irritating. We go to Nicole. Ah, here's Tim. That's not her fault. Don't get me wrong. I'm not mad at Nicole. It's just a damn technology. It's a savior, and it's also a devil. Tim, you're on WBEN. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You are on the radio.
First, I would like to say thanks to you and anyone else who is vaccinated that is supporting my choice and my freedom to choose to be unvaccinated or not. But I think a big thing people are missing that the state is pushing this mandate along for vaccinations like it's some kind of a magic cure or a block or anything. And people aren't realizing that it's not a magic cure. It's not a block. You still can get sick. You can still carry the COVID. It just lessens your symptoms. So if in healthcare, they're saying that a patient shouldn't have to worry about contracting COVID from an unvaccinated physician, nurse, doctor, this and that. They could still contract it from a person that is vaccinated.
Well, that is a debate. See, okay, like so much in COVID, that is debatable because you get Dr. Fauci and his ilk saying one thing, and you get other doctors who are equally qualified saying something else.
CDC came out with the study when the outbreak happened in Massachusetts and found that 74% of fully immunized people led to the COVID outbreak of 74% fully immunized people.
And why should I believe what CDC says? Because it's been wrong time and time again. Why should I believe CDC?
That's what they want to go off of, and that's what the state wants to go off of. Well, then you can use them numbers against them. So all I'm simply saying is if there is a risk that exists, I don't care if it's 0.1 risk that exists, then they should be making every single employee, vaccinated or not, be tested weekly because there's still a risk. And if that's their big claim, is they're trying to stop the risk and transfer to other people and to patients.
Are there other medical tests that you'd like your neighbors to mandatorily have to have?
Pardon me?
Are there other medical tests that you'd like your neighbor to mandatorily have, like maybe a Wasserman test for syphilis or something?
No, but I'm just saying if for the people that are being forced to either be fired or vaccinated, if they were to push back and say, well, if you're going to, then even the vaccinated people should have a weekly COVID test. They're going to get to the point where they're not going to want to do it.
Okay, I'm not sure I completely understand where you're going with that, but thank you for the call. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm not even being facetious with the Wasserman test thing, because one of the things that nobody's asked Gail Burstein that I'm aware of, but I happen to know this, is in Erie County, there is more syphilis out there than at any time in my lifetime. More syphilis out there. There is, and it's primarily affecting younger people. And that's why I was not being facetious at all by mentioning the Wasserman test, which is a syphilis test. I mean, what other medical requirements would you like to put on your fellow citizens? And as far as a 0.1% of risk, you know, should we apply that across the board to, let's say, driving across the country or maybe general aviation? I mean, hardly a day goes by where somewhere in this country a few planes don't go down, single-engine planes. Should we apply it to motorcycles? Do you guys know anybody who is a rider of motorcycles who doesn't know anybody who has been killed in a motor vehicle fatality? I mean, are we also then to say, well, this does affect other people because it drives other people's insurance rates up, it drives other people's health care costs up, let us ban motorcycles? There are, and what about the obese, ladies and gentlemen? What about the obese who are at very high risk if they contract COVID? Why do we have a nationwide campaign against COVID when the single biggest killer in the United States and in the world is heart disease? And I say this every day because I have to. Well, not have to, I choose to. Once every 37 seconds in the United States, somebody dies of heart disease. So when does Mark Poloncarz tell us he has the power to eliminate fatty foods from supermarkets and from snack bars and restaurants? I'm Mark Poloncarz. I need to remind you, I have the power. One every 37 seconds. And I don't know what that translates to in Erie County. I mean, I know a lot of people who, like me, have been down Quad Bypass Alley and Heart Attack Road. It's very, very common. When do we declare that a public health crisis? Well, Tom, that doesn't affect anybody else. Oh, I beg to differ. My heart surgery cost the insurance company about $200,000. Just saying. So maybe if they'd outlawed chicken wings and pizza and red meat, maybe the healthcare company would have saved $200,000 and your premium would have gone down a quarter. Hey, by the way, have premiums ever gone down? Remember when the seatbelt law kicked into effect? Oh, this is going to make your auto insurance premiums go down because the risk of injury is going to be lessened with seatbelts. I don't know. Have you checked your premium lately? Because mine just keeps on going up and up and up and up. By the way, speaking of up and up and up, Nicki Minaj, who I you know personally turn to as my Lord and Savior, she is saying that she knows somebody who got the shot in the Caribbean who then became impotent. Impotent. Now, you want to scare guys into not getting the shot? Impotence is that's a good way to do it. So Fauci has apparently had to talk about that. I don't know. Is there anybody listening who wants to own that? Any dude listening who never had a problem with ED, who got the jab, who now can't perform? Let's go to Dave in Amherst. Probably a bad transition for Dave. Dave, you're on WBEN. My COVID complaint desk is open. Go.
Just for the record, I'm doing okay in that department.
All right.
So I work for a large manufacturing company, and talking to somebody in the know, was mentioned today that they get to choose whether you get vaccinated or testing for the whole facility, not an individual. So I'm not sure how that lies. I heard your show yesterday, and I'm not sure if that was discussed.
Well, I mean, a lot of it seems to revolve around whether you are a member of a union and have a collective bargaining contract, because typically this is what Steve Cohen, the attorney, said. Typically, if you have a contract between two people, if that contract is to be changed or terms of employment are to be changed and it's in writing previously, both sides to the contract have to agree to the change. But the problem here is when you've got unions that will not go to bat for their members, they're happy to collect your dues all these years. But when it comes to supporting your right not to be vaccinated because maybe you literally can't because of a medical condition, basically the union says up yours.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when you buy a ticket. If you've already bought a ticket to a Bills game, my argument would be that ticket is a contract between myself and the Bills. The Bills and Erie County changed the terms of that contract. I should get my money back for my single game seat.
And you know, and that brings me to my second point. The Pegula Entertainment Company, you know, is worried about everybody's health. What about the players, coaches, and all the staff? Are they going to be fully vaccinated?
Of course not. Doesn't apply to them any more than it applies to Congress.
That's what I don't get. So, you know, once again, it's the hierarchy that gets to bring down the mandates and then decide whether or not they actually have to live by it.
Well, keep in mind, the player, I'm not sure about the coaches, but the players are represented by the NFLPA, the Players Association of the National Football League. And, you know, in the past, they have taken to picket lines. I remember seeing Reggie McKenzie back at Niagara University during one of the Bills' training camps picketing for the NFLPA. Got a picture with Reggie, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's just a concern of mine, too. I mean, it's good for one, but not good for everybody.
I agree. It's a double standard. But again, you know, I mean, how many times have you said to yourself, wow, COVID is a brilliant disease. It knows it can attack fans in the stands who aren't vaccinated, but to stay away from players who aren't. And I'm sorry, but some of the linemen are morbidly obese. I'm sure they can bench press 700 pounds, but in terms of body mass, they're morbidly obese.
And they're swapping spit on every play.
Well, I'd prefer not to discuss the intimacy on field, but they're certainly, they're heavy breathing. Of course they're breathing heavily. I mean, some of these guys weigh 300 pounds. I'd breathe heavily to lift a leg.
Does the government understand that if they take, individuals out of a job, you know, that person is losing their livelihood, so we can't even go to the supermarket. We don't have any money to go to the supermarket that they're telling us we can't go to anyway because of the vaccine and stuff. But does the government understand that they're losing money and taxes, too, when I can't work?
Well, the government should understand that unemployed people who are not eligible for unemployment and who are not eligible for COBRA health insurance represent a bunch of people who are very, very angry with a lot of time on their hands. And historically, that has not bode well for governments around the world. A lot of pissed off people who feel as though they've been wronged with a lot of time on their hands can do a lot of things that governments don't want them to do.
Well, everybody's got to stick together in what they believe in, stand up for it. You got to stand for something or you stand for nothing.
Well, I agree with that. And again, I'm fully vaccinated, and I'm not going to tell you that I think you should be fully vaccinated because, if you've got COVID and you give it to me, I'll be a little bit sick, maybe a lot of bit sick, but my risk of dying is minimal. You know, I mean, if you give me a disease which gives me diarrhea for a week, I mean, I'm not going to hold it against you. Thank you very much for the call. And we'll get into the Dominican Republic story at some other time. I will never go back. All right, it is 2:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bowerly. And if you're just joining us, yeah, I know, COVID again. But here's the deal, guys. Your thoughts, like what you were thinking about COVID right now, depends on where you are in your life. If you're the parent of a two-year-old, you've got certain concerns. If you work in a healthcare setting, you've got certain concerns. If you work for an employer who says you must be vaccinated, you have concerns. And basically, where I see this heading is we went from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to ultimately what I believe is going to be mandatory vaccine to do anything. Oh, allergic to the vaccine and can't take it? All right, think about Goodfellas. Oh, can't pay, business slow? Fill in the line. Yeah, blank you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.